Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, notify bell next to it on YouTube to make sure you always get the new Going In Raw content. YouTube has a habit of unsubscribing people, Larson. It's kind of annoying. We're also available on Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. It's a great way to support Going In Raw with all sorts of great reward tiers. You kick us money and we kick you something back in return.
Yeah.
It's fantastic and it really helps the show. Another great way of helping Going In Raw is by hitting up your iOS podcast app and leaving us a rating or review. Telling a friend, tell your grandma, I don't know. Anyways, we're also on prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. Nope, nothing there, nothing here.
No, that's the Seth Rollins Wrestling School shirt.
This is my Elias shirt. My Elias shirt. Anyways, good stuff, Larson, good stuff. Oh, you want to see a shirt that we have at Pro Wrestling Tees?
What happened to the banner that had all of them on it?
There's one. You know, I gotta get back to the banner. I don't know what happened to it. It's gone. I'll put it back on one day. It's right there, but it's not in there.
Oh.
I know.
Oh.
Anyways.
Interesting.
Anyways, good stuff. Man, what a Raw last night, right?
Yeah, there was a couple things that happened on Raw last night I wasn't expecting to see from a WWE product. One, as shown in the thumbnail for this video, I'm assuming. And two, a couple of talents referred to themselves as professional wrestlers, and we had heard that that was not the nomenclature that Vince preferred for his talents.
I was a little less surprised by that. I thought that was cool. I opened my mouth, I think. I was like, oh, that's cool. But that's such a... I'm always happy. I'm always pleasantly surprised when they dispense with the foolery, with the petty crap details.
Yeah.
Professional wrestling is one way of saying sports entertainer, and sports entertainer is one way of saying pro wrestler.
Yeah.
You know? And so... two guys whose gimmick relies on
being throwbacks.
Right, exactly. I love even more what they said about guys from the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
We'll get to that when we get to it. But first up, let's talk about Braun Strowman.
Yeah, the first hour was definitely Strowman hour. He dominated the first hour, literally.
This was great.
He opens the show, starts to drop a promo, says, I'm going to tell everybody a short story.
Mm-hmm.
He tells a story about how he wins the Universal title.
Mm-hmm.
Before he continue, he's interrupted by Kurt Angle, who was joined by security.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt enters the ring. Security forms a line between the ring and the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Braun says to him, I was telling them a story.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle says, Braun, you make this a dangerous place to work.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. No written warning. No verbal warning.
No probation, no suspension.
He's like a huge star, Kurt Angle. Kurt, I'll be honest with you. Kurt Angle, not the best GM we've ever seen on Raw in terms of his actual job performance.
Yeah.
He's kind of crappy, to be honest with you. He's not that great. Dude, he shows up at the beginning of the show and says, hey, that's a great idea for a main event match.
Yeah, you should have your main event booked before the show starts.
Right? Kurt. Like, we all sit there on a Sunday night and throw you our document for our little Steven Larson Books Raw.
Yeah.
You know, what we do on Twitch.
I mean, before we go live, we at least know what our main event's going to be.
Right?
We might book it right before we start, but we know what it's going to be.
Man, talking about short-term booking. So there's that. There's, what do you call it? What is it called? When you bring your kid up. Nepotism.
Correct.
Right? I get that mixed up with something else. He's not terribly good at his job. I mean, I get his philosophy. We settle everything in the ring. Sometimes things need to be settled not inside the ring.
Yeah.
I do like that he mentioned Braun's grappling hook, though.
Yeah.
He
Where'd pointed you get that out. From? The absurdity of the grappling hook.
I swear Braun kind of smiled a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he knew that the grappling hook was very unexpected.
It very much was.
It was great.
So anyways, Kurt says, you're fired. He leaves the ring before Braun can get angry and take it out on Kurt.
Yeah.
Braun walks up the ramp. Walks backstage. Security is escorting him out. They get to an exit. One of the security guards gets a little too
handsy.
Yeah, with Braun. So yeah. Pretty much says, get out of here.
Probably a bad idea.
But Braun does what Braun wants to do.
Yeah, of course.
So then he proceeds to destroy the entire security detail.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And he says, I'm not finished yet. I'm not leaving until everybody gets these hands.
Oh, it's awesome. So great.
And he storms off, and he just goes on a trail of destruction throughout the arena for the next hour.
Isn't it weird, man? This is how you build a massive superstar.
I know.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
It's not this Roman Reigns business where you just give him whatever title you know. It's,
yeah.
It's none of that.
No.
This is how you build a massive star. Who is it? Jason the Cabby in our chat in the pre-show, in our Patreon pre-show. Said, so Braun is basically Stone Cold these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that Stone Cold is a massive star.
Yeah.
Braun is great. So, yeah. Then we had a rematch from last week. Thibar versus Titus Worldwide.
Yes.
We figured this would be, you know, the Thibar's way of making up for that loss last week.
But that's not what happened.
No, it's not.
Jason Jordan came out, distracted Thibar, allowing Apollo Crews to get the roll-up pin and the win on Sheamus.
And then Seth Rollins comes out and acts like he's all disappointed with Jason Jordan for doing that.
He just wants his partner to communicate with him. He must be on the same page. He feels like they're on different pages right now.
Well, I can feel that, yeah.
Because then later on, during that backstage statement, he's like, I don't necessarily disagree with what you did. I think he meant specifically getting him that match in the main event.
Yeah.
I just don't really appreciate how you did it.
Yeah.
So I think he just wants to be on the same page with his partner, and then Jason Jordan is out there freelancing too often for Seth's liking.
Look, man, it's a learning experience. They still have to get the shakes out, but being in, you know, essentially a work marriage all of a sudden, just like that, that's going to be a little jarring for a guy who's used to being, for a little while anyways, a single, like a bachelor, you know?
Who are you talking about, Jason
Jordan? Jason Jordan.
Yeah, okay.
Let him do, you know.
But it's not like this.
But Seth comes out and he's so naggy. He's so naggy with Jason Jordan. Look at them. They're pissed off now. No, he got humiliated.
It's the veteran trying to impart some wisdom.
He's so naggy. Oh, Jason
I'm gonna tell
Jordan.
You. Yeah, he's great.
Jason Jordan's great, man.
He seems to take such glee in being annoying.
I know.
It's fantastic.
He does.
Like and that bit backstage with Kurt, where he just stand there smiling at him awkwardly. It was
How
great.
How great is he? Wears the belt everywhere.
I know.
That's fantastic.
After that, we go backstage again. Braun Strowman kicks down the door to Kurt Angle's office and trashes the whole place.
That was awesome. He destroyed that TV that was mounted on the wall. That was great.
This is what you get for firing me. You want to fire me? I destroy your office.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
I think there's a commercial break. Come back, and we're in catering.
Yeah.
And there's someone backstage pokes their head and says, Braun Strowman is headed this way. And as soon as that guy leaves, Braun Strowman is there, flips over a table, choke slams Kurt Hawkins through a table of food.
Yeah.
Is about to leave, runs into a stagehand.
A baker of some sort.
Or a baker with a giant chocolate cake. Rather than destroy the baker or the cake, he takes a piece of cake and takes a bite out of it.
There's something Shakespearean about that.
I
can't quite put my finger on it because I'm not that smart. There's something very Shakespearean about that. And I love they had the baker just sit there like this.
I know.
It was like a statue, just a stone statue.
Even after Braun left, the baker just stood there realizing that while he might be missing some cake, he avoided destruction.
That's the most stone cold thing. This was the most stone cold Braun we've seen.
Yeah.
And it's so effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's so effective when it's just a guy who's just destroying things.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
After that, we're back to the ring. Enzo comes out with Tony Nese, drops a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Dust and Cedric Alexander come out to the ramp. They talk a bit too.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric calls Enzo soft.
Mm-hmm.
Setting up for their match. After a commercial break, but before we get to that match, we get more Braun destruction backstage.
Yeah.
Just throwing stuff around.
Yeah.
Kicking stuff.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Tony Nese versus Cedric Alexander. Decent match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it really advanced the story a whole lot leading up to the title match. Other than Cedric just winning.
No, because it's the same story as we already got on 205 Live. They do that. They do that sometimes. They have like a weird, like, you know, getting to know you match on 205 Live, and they do the exact same thing on
Raw. I think it's more the get to know you match on Raw.
To be honest, I kind of feel like Goldust did a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of whatever character development or build we were supposed to get.
I know. I think they should just really be focusing on the story between Cedric and Enzo.
When Cedric is just standing next to the guy who everybody's paying a good look.
I know.
And then when Goldust was like, I've got one word to describe you. And so it's like, hold on. Let, it's almost like, hey, let me talk too.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So next up.
Cedric picked up the win with a lumbar check.
It was a beautiful lumbar check.
Yeah, Nice.
I've never seen this one because he jumped up and he went,
he rotated in midair and landed on his belly.
That was great.
Yeah, it was good.
That was cool.
Next, Kurt Angle enters his destroyed office.
Mm-hmm.
Is surveying the destruction, and a ref comes in and tells Kurt that Braun is headed towards a production truck. I believe I called that last week.
I mean, the question was, what else can he do? And you said right here on this very set, production truck. Braun literally went into the production truck. I don't know what's going on, man. I don't know what's going on. I mean, either this stuff is just easy to call.
I think in this case, it's pretty easy to call.
I don't know, man. He actually went into the production truck.
Yeah.
If you think about it, there's a lot of stuff that can be destroyed and can be messed with.
I really did like how he went to the production truck and was
as delicate as possible. He was as delicate as possible.
That is a $12 million production truck. I was even concerned when he kicked that garbage can that he was going to break something.
Right, I know. He shoved some papers to the side. You're all garbage. What did he say when he was in the production truck?
I don't remember.
I started to think that it was going to get super meta because wait a second. They cannot cut the camera. They can't cut to a different angle here because he's scaring off all the people who do that.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't. You know, their credit.
I think they have more than one production truck too.
Camera just followed them and then they were like, okay, go back out there.
Yeah. Why did he tell people to get all in that one room?
I don't know. It was like the first scene in GTA 5.
Yeah.
Except in that, I think, no, you don't shoot people. You lose if you shoot people.
Yeah.
You just herd them. I don't know, man. He's a herding dog.
But then then people were starting to matriculate back into
He didn't really know what to do. What do you do at that point? He comes in the production truck. He's like,
This looks
very expensive.
Destroy anything in here, so I'll kick this garbage can.
Right.
But was he trying to keep people in the back of the truck? So what did he actually try to protect people in this instance? In the back of the truck, so when he took the tractor off the production trailer, no one would get hurt?
I'd like to think no. But maybe.
Maybe.
I like that being some element of Braun's character. I mean, we've seen him dressed like an elf, so he's got some soft side to him. You know, he seems like a sweetheart.
And yes.
It's just everybody involved directly with pro wrestling.
Maybe it's just people that are related to the actual wrestling aspect of it.
Right,
He has no ill will against anybody in production, but at the same time, he wants to destroy things.
Right. Anybody, anybody.
If it's Angle... Anybody that he hires as security, any of the wrestlers, he feels is fair game to beat up and throw around. But anybody in production, he's like, all right, I know you're not directly associated with the wrestling aspect.
Well, here's the
management
thing.
Aspect. People telling me, Braun, what to do.
Yeah, he probably told or he probably knew about the JBL stories. And he's like, HR wants a new working environment here. So get in this closet so I don't have an HR violation. As near as I can tell, that's probably what it is.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyways, so he exits the production truck. Camera stays inside. The production crew starts to go back to their places. There's a disturbance in the truck. Cut back on the outside. Braun has detached the tractor aspect from the production trailer, drives it forward, I don't know, 10 feet, maybe 15 feet. Far enough.
He clears it.
The production truck itself won't be in the area of destruction.
Yeah.
He gets out of the truck. Kurt Angle confronts him briefly. Braun Strowman proceeds to flip over the tractor aspect of the tractor trailer.
Yeah, somebody's going crazy on the cuts on this. They're going doom, 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 doom.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of cutting here.
Yeah.
Was that... He didn't actually flip.
Not by himself, no.
Okay. I would think behind it they had some sort of maybe pulley
something,
thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they were cutting a lot, and I figured that was to maybe hide,
the movie magic.
The movie magic,
movie magic aspect.
But at the same time, I was like, man, you can't really see anything behind that truck. Is it possible? He used to be a strongman guy.
I know those things weigh a couple thousand pounds or something, though.
I would think
more
so.
Than that.
I mean, you a couple tons, I would think.
Pickup trucks that weigh, thousands of pounds.
Right.
So I would think a tractor.
I mean, there's what do they call it? A 2-ton truck, right?
Yeah.
You think that's what it is? Well, I don't know. You gonna Google that now?
Yeah.
How much does a semi truck? There you go.
80,000 pounds.
What's a ton? Like 12? Isn't a ton 12?
A ton is 2,000 pounds.
Oh, a ton is two?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that's 40 tons.
Okay. Wow. Gee willikers.
So no, he's not flipping that over by himself.
Man, crazy.
All right. Oh, sorry. It's 80,000 pounds is the tractor aspect, but also a full trailer.
Oh.
So I don't know how much. Here, let me see this.
We like to be detail-oriented here.
Yeah, we like to give real answers.
Yeah.
17,000 to 22,000.
Okay.
So, yeah, 11 tons. That's more than a person could probably toss on their own.
I would think so. Kurt Angle's acting was great here. Mm-hmm. It was great when the ref told him that Braun was headed in the production truck. That's going to cost $12 million.
That's a $12 million truck.
Yeah.
So anyways, Braun, after he turns over the tractor, goes, storms off, mm-hmm. goes into the arena.
Mm-hmm.
There's this great moment where he approaches the announce table. Booker T and Michael Cole stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like Booker T hip checks Michael Cole, knocks him over.
Man, I have to watch that again. Yeah, I didn't see that.
Oh, that's great. I saw it. Someone gifted on Twitter.
Oh, man. Oh, I got to watch that again. That's fantastic.
It was great because they referenced it later on.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. That's hilarious.
It was great. So Braun picks up Michael Cole. Kurt gets on the mic, which just happened to be placed there at the top of the ramp,
uh-huh.
and says, hold on, Braun. I just talked to Stephanie. You're rehired.
Yeah.
Called off the police. We're all good. Everything's good. And Braun puts Michael Cole down, seems content, starts to turn to walk backstage, turns around again, picks up Michael Cole, and throws Michael Cole into all the security guards down by Kurt Angle.
I do like that him and Michael Cole couldn't quite get on the same page in terms of how to carry Michael Cole.
Yeah.
Because at first he was trying to do it by the belt buckle, and that wasn't really working. So then he tries to, and it's just really awkward.
Yeah.
And it's like, this guy just tipped over.
I noticed that too. It's like picking up Michael Cole should be a breeze.
Michael Cole's super dense. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. It was great. And the throw was great into security. There was like 10 security guards.
Yeah.
A big blanket for Michael Cole to follow in. So that was fun.
Yeah, and that pretty much concluded the hour of Braun. Because the whole first hour was just dominated by Braun Strowman.
Right. So next, Bischoff and Chris Jericho.
Have been confirmed for Raw next week.
Chris Jericho.
Yeah, apparently I was reading on Wrestling Inc., I think, that there's actually no deal in place for Jericho to show up. They kind of announced him prematurely, but they thought they more or less thought the deal would be signed beforehand, before the actual show.
Right. So there's like a verbal agreement in place?
I guess so, yeah.
You would hope so, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's great. Bischoff will show up. He ain't got nothing to do.
No, I know. And Jericho will show up too, I'm sure.
I would assume. I would assume that they would say, "Hey, is this cool with your New Japan deal to do this?"
Yeah.
I would assume that's going to be the case. Hopefully, it is. And to be honest with you, I don't know. That's the kind of thing where they could have just made that a big surprise, because that would have been hugely shocking.
Oh, I know. Watch this. Oh, see, watch Booker right here. Look at that. This gives him a little elbow.
What was that? That was weird.
So they all stand up because they think Braun's... Look at that. He just pushes him over and walks off.
He pushes him over and runs. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Oh, I love it. That's great.
I like to watch that all day.
After that, Tom Phillips took over for Michael Cole.
Yeah.
I love that. I love Tom Phillips. I think he's great. Next up, we had Nia Jax versus Asuka. You like this match?
Yeah, I like this match a lot. I know you were not that into the finish, but it didn't necessarily bother me. It's a different way of finishing the match and protecting both competitors.
I didn't see it as much protection for Nia Jax. That's my main problem with it. I mean, I don't know if I preferred it over Alexa Bliss coming out and interfering and them just taking the advantage to beat her down, to beat Asuka down and taking the DQ. I think that would have been a better way to protect them. Because, like, Nia Jax, so, like, yeah, Asuka worked over her knee.
Well, she started the match kicking her hamstrings and her knee, her leg. Yeah. Had her in a knee bar for a bit. And there was a spot where Nia was standing on the ring steps, but to do something to Asuka, Asuka kicks her off.
I love when you call her Oscar.
Well, Asuka.
No, because you've done it a couple.
I know
it is. You're just running through your words. It's fine. I get
Asuka.
It. I always get, like, Oscar in my head. It cracks me up.
Nia lands on the ring steps with her leg trapped between the ring steps and the ring. What?
Alex C. says, Tom Phillips walked in like C-3PO. He is the most C-3PO guy on the roster, I think. Anyways, I'm sorry. Yeah, so she falls on the ring steps. It was a very well-coordinated move.
Yeah.
One of her legs lands in between
the ring and the ring steps.
The ring and the ring steps, and then she
falls over. And looks like her knee could have got bent a little bit.
Yeah, commentary did a good job selling it. She did a good job selling it.
Yeah, she did a great job actually selling it.
Yeah, no, she totally did.
But she tries to get up. She gets back in the ring, tries to get up a couple times. Actually, I thought what was going to happen is that would happen. She would stay on the outside and get counted out.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought was going to happen. She barely made the count out.
And then she tried to stand up in the ring a couple times and couldn't, and the ref called for the bell.
I think a more effective way for protecting her in this case would have been she somehow gets Asuka up for a Samoa drop. Samoan drop. And buckled, and then Asuka gets the win that way. Or they stop it there. Because her just coming in, beating the count and saying, the ref was the one who stopped it because she couldn't get up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It kind of makes her look a little on the weak side, in my view, in my opinion.
It's a leg injury, man.
Yeah, man.
Alexa Bliss comes out to check on Nia, help her to the back, along with the referee.
Yeah.
But then next, yes, Kurt Angle in his office again, trying to pick up the destruction. Jason Jordan comes in.
Yeah.
He tries to have a heart-to-heart moment with his dad.
He's such a little dick.
I know.
I love it.
Just stands there with a smile on his face awkwardly.
I want to say thank you. Kurt is obviously going through some stuff right now.
I know.
I just want to say thank you,
Dad. I don't know if you know this, but I was behind you the whole time.
Yeah. He was like, I was ready for Braun Strowman. I was ready for him, you know. It was great.
He says, well, Seth is really tore up about his loss last week, so how about this? I'll speak for my partner. Let's have a match between him and Finn Balor tonight in the main event.
Yeah.
And rather than Kurt saying, you know, that's a great idea, with any measure of enthusiasm, he kind of says, all right, fine. Get out of here.
That's when
Jason Jordan stands there like this. Gosh, it was so good.
Jason Jordan's great. Oh, man. Next up.
Backstage, Nia Jax. And Alexa, Nia's putting some ice on her injured leg. Enzo Amore comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa says, Enzo, get out of here. I got this. Enzo says, actually, I got this. And Nia says, yeah, Enzo's got this.
Ooh.
Alexa leaves.
Yeah, no good. Next up we had, say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go hard.
The Revival against Extra Talented. That's Aaron Solo, Bailey's boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
And
all
his
right.
tag team partner.
Okay.
Revival win, of course.
Yeah.
In quick fashion.
Easily.
And then they gave a great promo afterwards.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Scott Dawson is great on the mic.
They're both really good, man.
Scott Dawson's better of the two.
The bald one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic, but what's his face?
Dash
Wilder.
Dash did a great job last night with what he was saying. He delivered his line last night really well.
So, yeah, they had this great line. You have it here in the notes. We're not sports entertainers. We're professional wrestlers.
I don't think they've said the words professional wrestlers on WWE product in a long time.
Not in this way, unless it was like some old-timer talking about a story or whatever.
Yeah.
I like that. I loved when Charlie Caruso said, well, who are you guys most
excited to see next week
because you're from the old school? And she brings up Stone Cold Steve Austin, the New Age Outlaws. And he says, none of them were professional wrestlers. It's because of them that the business is in the sad state it's in right now, essentially. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. They said something like, you know, the people in the boardroom don't control us.
Right. Very Jim Cornette line of thought there. Bring Cornette in to to manage them. Maybe. He was at the Hall of Fame thing.
It's true.
You know. I wonder what half the locker room thinks of Jim Cornette.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Anyways.
Great promo.
Really cool.
It was good stuff.
Yeah, that was cool.
Next, Elias comes out, drops a promo.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Did you see that shirt of his?
Yeah.
It was like a blouse.
It was too much for the eyes.
It was awesome.
It was
this
great.
This dude is the best. I love Elias. Elias is such a joy because he completely understands how much power he has over any given crowd.
Yeah. He knows how to get heat.
And he's so on the verge of cracking up at his own gimmick. It's fantastic. I love every second of it.
So he dropped a promo.
He talks crap about Cena. Everybody's coming after Cena.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe with Joe Hurt now
mm-hmm.
and his Rumble status up in the air, maybe they're mm-hmm. going to have Elias take that spot.
Karen says, I need that floral shirt. I kind of do need that floral shirt. I'd wear the crap out of that.
And then he sings a song to introduce. He says he was paid handsomely to do so.
Yeah, man.
Introduce Miz and the Miztourage.
Absolutely. That was great.
Miz dropped a promo before the Miztourage's match against Roman Reigns, saying mm-hmm. that he's going to get that title back
mm-hmm.
next week at Raw 25.
Yep.
Miztourage, 2-on-1 handicap match against Roman Reigns.
Oh, man. Finally, 2-on-1. Roman Reigns lost. He got a the pin, right?
No.
Right?
No, he speared Axel and pinned him, winning the match.
What a bummer.
It was a bummer.
Yeah.
It was an okay match. It wasn't as good as the previous Reigns matches we've seen on Raw, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Miztourage, man. You know, they're not going to let... I mean, they're going to let Curtis... It's always kind of a bummer when, like, a henchman group exists solely as a henchman group, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
They don't let them do anything.
Which is interesting you say that, considering the next match, Sasha Banks versus Sonya Deville,
mm-hmm.
with Sonya Deville picking up the surprise win over Sasha Banks.
Okay. Let's talk about this. This is a quick match.
Yeah.
And Sonya Deville went over pretty strong.
Yeah.
And they did not, Paige came out, they did not address.
Well, they did mention that she is out of the Rumble during
right.
the show.
Right, they mentioned that. There was, I want to say I got it off of Wrestling Inc., but I'll have to look at it again to see and to source it. But there was some indication, there were some reports that backstage Paige is not dealing with this news very well.
I saw that too.
She's having a hard time with it. That's a bummer. I hope they do this. I don't know about the whole retirement thing that they're going to give her a speech. I mean, I'm sure they will if they want, or if she wants to do it. But if she is having some sort of problems dealing with this, it's a really good idea not to force her out there to do a retirement speech.
Yes.
That'd be devastating for a human being. That'd be terrible.
Yeah.
So that's good. Let her take her time to soak it in. Take it event by event,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have her get checked up on a regular basis mm-hmm. until it finally sinks in.
Mm-hmm.
In September, have her take over as GM of SmackDown
because
mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan's out the door.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think it'd be fantastic.
That's a good idea.
I love. So let me ask this. They're obviously. Is this one thing, another thing, or both things? Obviously, Paige isn't going to be wrestling. They need somebody to carry the load on wrestling.
Yes.
Until if they do decide to bring somebody else in for Absolution. This week it was Sonya Deville picking up a win on Sasha Banks. Was this punishment for Sasha?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
In this decisive of a match?
No, I think they were just trying to build up Sonya Deville.
Wow. Okay. All right. I don't know. I would like to think not because, I mean...
When I saw Sonya win, I thought, oh, maybe they're going to have Sonya Deville... take over as
lead dog in Absolution.
Yeah.
I hope so. I love Sonya Deville.
Oh, she's great.
She's a great look. And she's really, really coming along with that MMA stuff in the mm-hmm, ring. Mm-hmm. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I don't know. That's, I don't think I'm supposed to be a finisher, like somebody coming off the top.
Jumping off the top rope and then kicking him in the ribs.
Right, exactly. But the idea that her kick is so strong it can fell somebody like that. I like that.
Oh, it's great.
I think it's cool.
I like it when people don't always win with finishers.
Oh, I know. Me too. They need to do more of that stuff. Yeah, totally. No, I was shocked. I think everybody was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. I liked it. Let's see here. Next, Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan. We talked about this a little bit already. Seth was saying, I don't mind that you booked that or that you got that match booked for me. I just don't like that I'm not in the loop.
Yeah.
I don't like how you did it.
Seth just wants conversations, communication. That's what he wants.
Yeah, he's so naggy, though, man. God, don't come at me like that. Like, hey, ask if you want to go get some lunch at catering. Go have some of that delicious chocolate cake, and then you can say, hey, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not getting on you. Next time, let me know. Just let me know what we're doing. We're a tag team now.
Yeah.
Just communicate.
Yes.
No, he's so naggy, dude. You got to learn how to be diplomatic.
I'll tell you, man.
In a wedding.
Seth is
in a marriage.
Seth is the architect.
This is old.
Seth is the architect. He's used to making the plans. To me, this is a huge
change
for him,
too. Hey, you know what? You got to adjust, man.
Well, that goes for both parties, I think.
Did that camera move again? I've got more room over here again.
No, I think you're moving.
It's your magnetic personality.
Oh, thank you. Next, Matt Hardy. Yes.
Yeah.
Finally has his own Titantron.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Whoa.
Do you like his Titantron now, too?
It's better than his old one, yeah.
Yeah.
No, all the deletes?
Yeah, it's great.
Great. Yeah, it's great.
It's great.
I was just happy with something that wasn't like the Hardy Boys,
yes.
You know?
Yes, and actually it was pretty decent.
Give me Rebby and King Max.
He says something on Twitter that their arrivals will be happening imminently.
Oh, I love it. I love every second of it. Crowd's going to pop big.
Oh, yes. So he took on Heath Slater, of course, beat him.
Yep.
With a twist of fate.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they keep on this path, they'll be able to pick up whatever momentum they may have lost by not doing the delete thing immediately.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I'm glad that we're not into week six of him just showing up with a crumpled thing behind him. They're making some movement. They're making some progress.
Finally, our main event, Finn Balor, versus Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.
Finn did a little picture-in-picture promo before the match starts.
He looked like he just woke up.
I know. He's taking a nap in the locker room with some abduction.
The day at SummerSlam when I won the Universal title against Seth Rollins was my best day in my career.
It was also my worst day.
That nap
was real. I need some caffeine.
Oh man! So what was going on with the ref, man? How many times?
He was good.
I thought it was three times.
Yeah,
and then
he was
good
for a four count on that one botched
for
pin.
A four count. That was three. That was three hard freaking slams right there, man.
I know that was confusing.
That was not his fault though, man. Seth, come on, Seth. You gotta. Like, I understand you
Kick
always want to be looking at the ref.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Sometimes the ref's not right in front of
your
face.
You gotta feel the hand hit the mat.
This is the main event of Raw, Seth.
I know.
What are you doing? Even Finn should have been like, you know, at a certain point. Do you think? I wonder. Have wrestlers done this? Like, if they can feel there's about to be a botch, don't they start to do this?
Oh, maybe.
Shouldn't it be like a team effort? Like, you can't just rely on the guy putting his shoulder up. If you know, if that ref goes one, two, and you know this is about to happen, don't you start to do this?
No, I think you just do your job.
We got to ask some of our local friendos.
Yes, that's a good question.
Our wrestling friendos about that.
So, yeah, Finn, towards the end of the match, reversed. It was a good match. It was a really good match. Finn did some reversal to Seth's frog splash into a pinning combo, and then the ref pretty obviously counted to three.
Mm-hmm.
But right as that happened, I think that's when Thebar came out, too.
Right, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It kind of distracted everybody finish.
Okay, so within the context of the match, and I don't know, maybe the match was supposed to go a little longer. Maybe that's why they held on Balor at the end.
Could be.
Because everybody was super, like, the crowd was, like, about to go up in arms. The ref was, like, saying, no, it was only two. And everybody was, like, standing, like, what the heck's going on? And then Thebar's music kicked in. So maybe that was, but then the overall, I don't think they can... Let me ask him, the overrun, is that fluid? Like, week to week it is.
Yeah, week to week. Yeah.
But during the course, like, do you think during the course of the actual episode, the overrun, do they tell USA, we're going to go to 8:05 or we're going to go to 8:11? Right, yeah, they
have
to,
tell USA that, yeah, so they can program accordingly.
Right.
So anyways, that happens. Thebar comes out to the ring. They and the club surround Jason Jordan briefly, but then just everybody starts brawling.
Yeah.
The club, Thebar, they go at it.
Yeah.
Jason Jordan's involved. Balor hits a top rope, or sorry, a tope con hilo
on everybody. That was great.
Yeah. He gets back in the ring. He, I believe, runs to the ropes. Jason Jordan trips him up.
Mm-hmm.
As Balor gets up, out of nowhere, mm-hmm. Seth Rollins hits the curb stomp for the win.
Oh, my gosh. Corey Graves immediately called it a blackout, but that was a curb stomp. And then later on, he called it he said, that stomp
blackout was what it was called in the indies, I think, in NXT, too.
In NXT, that's what it was called. It's just kind of cool that he called it a blackout, not a curb stomp.
Maybe they don't want to call it that.
Probably not. I have no idea. I'd be surprised if the nomenclature was what, you know, got it banned.
No, I think it's the move itself.
Right, exactly. That immediately, at Real Going In Raw. At MF Steve here, I'm sure. Yeah. At Joey Beardy, yeah. Blew up with curb stop.
Should we, if we do a count out on our top 10 Raw moments ever, should we add this?
We kind of should. Absolutely. Hold on. I want to see. Where's my. Oh, here we go. 763 likes of my stupid surprise shock face and yelling curb stomp right here.
It was pretty shocking. Unexpected.
That was super shocking.
And Seth.
Oh, this one he has even more. 860 likes.
Seth even seemed surprised. He hit it and looked around and then pinned him.
Right. I said, I literally, and this is true, I stood up. Bama was in there with me. I stood up at the eye. It was my gut reaction. I said, holy. I dropped the F-bomb. She comes up to me and starts laughing and punching me. It's a kid I'm raising. I was stunned.
Yeah, it was surprising.
Oh, my God. The cold crowd was like,
Yeah.
What did we just see? Oh, man, that was amazing.
It was pretty neat.
That was great. And Finn sold it like a champ. Everybody also on Twitter was saying, Finn's messed up right now. Like, I think he just got concussed. This is a great sell job. That was a fantastic sell job. And they, like you said, they lingered on him forever in that last shot, or the last couple moments.
Had a hard time getting up.
Yeah.
Carl Anderson said something to him.
He looked all woozy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he got up. So, I don't know. I really hope that they use this. And then, and Seth tweeted, welcome back.
Yeah.
With a picture. I really hope they use this to ramp up something where Finn is a bit more heelish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I don't want him like cheating to win and stuff like that. I just want some edge and attitude. I want aggression. Yes. I want some aggression from the club. That could be so much fun.
Yeah.
I think I tweeted out, I watched Okada versus Finn Balor, Prince Devitt,
mm-hmm.
Their heavyweight championship match in New Japan mm-hmm. just this past weekend. And it's by and large the same Finn Balor that we've always seen. It's just a little bit more aggression, a little bit more edge, especially character wise.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I wonder if this, because I think
this is all a prelude to that.
Well, maybe the smiling stuff is a clue, because we talked about it last week. I'm like, you know, he's doing this smiling thing, and I wonder if that's foreshadowing something.
It could be, because at the end of his promo,
he did it again.
Night.
Yeah,
he finished his lines. Took a beat
mm-hmm.
and then did it.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Who knows?
Pretty cool. Let's open some mail because we have some mail. You guys want to send us some? We need stuff because we've got we've closed escrow on our office, which just means we sign a lease.
Yeah. This is a T-shirt.
So we need stuff.
Here, you want to read?
Oh man, I'll read. Reading is real. Hey, friendos, I've been watching and listening to your show for a while now, and it never ceases to be the best show out there. Your enthusiasm and positivity in light of occasionally terrible WWE booking decisions is what keeps me still interested in their product. Keep it going. Anyway, here is a T-shirt I got for you guys at the last local wrestling show I went to in my area. I'm from Victoria, British Columbia, just like, and Steve will get this, Laurel Van Ness. That's right. You guys often talk about supporting local promotions. Here you go. Enjoy your friendo Misty. P.S. More Gypsy. Yay or nay, More Gypsy, Larson.
Well, we're going to be at the office a lot more, so I think just circumstances.
Get that smile off your face.
Gypsy won't be joining
us. Get that smile off your face, my poor Bubba girl.
I'm not going to bring my dog to the office.
Nobody wants to see your dog.
Well, my dog's the best. She doesn't do anything. Just lay there and snore.
That's, I know, man. I want somebody with personality.
She's got tons of personality.
Gypsy's personality. Yeah. She'll bite your face.
That's not personality. That's a public danger.
Maybe.
She wanted to eat me the other day.
Well, that's because you made sudden movements towards her.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't make sudden
movements.
I didn't make any sudden movements towards her.
She was on the opposite side of you. I jumped to sit on the couch.
Yes. In a very aggressive manner.
There's no aggression behind it whatsoever. This is from Jonathan Coppin. I just have my keys.
That'll work. When you're done with that one, give me your keys. Give me your keys.
Shut up and give me your keys.
Oh, yeah. Just rip it. Oh, this is from...
That's from Pete Dirksen.
Pete Dirksen.
This is from... I said Jonathan Coppin. Yeah, Jonathan Coppin.
All right, I'm going to read this from Pete Dirksen. Steven Larson, here are a couple of shirts I got you guys at World Tag League in Osaka.
Oh, wow.
Oh, enjoy. At the Mayor Pete, a.k.a. Pete Gass.
Thank you very much. About being real. Oh, the yellow logo shirt.
Whoa.
I love that one.
This is for you.
Thank you.
Oh, man. This one's for me. Look
World
at that.
World Tag League. That's great. Thank you very much.
So cool. Thank you very much.
Real.
So nice. People are too nice.
I know. This is very heavy. This is some good tape we got on
here. Real. That tape is real. Jack Dolan says, you want me to send more giant props? Sure, we have lots of room.
Yes, we will have tons of room.
Might as well. Yeah, I lived in Victoria for a while. British Columbia.
True.
Yeah.
What is this?
Oh, Karen reminds us, Japanese sizes are one size smaller than in U.S. Well, perfect. Give me more motivation to keep going to the gym.
Yeah.
Holy crap, what is that?
Really, it's a bunch of magazines.
Real.
That was really well packaged.
I will read this. Look at that. It says hashtag legacy. Holy crap.
That's a lot of magazines. Wow. Well, this is the magazine, I think, this is one that Bill Apter did when he left PWI.
Let's find out. You got to Stephen Larson. You guys may not remember me, but my name is Jonathan Copen, and I used to be a Patreon donator for Going In Raw.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Over the past few months, my life has been rough after leaving my job due to being mistreated by workers and management. Oh, no. As I learned, I needed to go where I am celebrated, not tolerated. However, that caused me a lot of stress and grief due to lack of employment. Thus, my financial situation went for a turn for the worse. Throughout the year, I've struggled and become depressed. But throughout the constant roller coaster, watching your videos has kept me entertained and provided so much laughter and insight regarding the wrestling world. From your opinions about the product to your impersonations and even gaming content, this has become my favorite wrestling podcast. In closing, I want to express my thanks to what you have done for me and the friendos by providing you guys with classic wrestling magazines such as WOW Magazine to use for your new set and whenever you guys find an office space for the show. Once again, thank you, Stephen Larson, for making my year stable and fun for me. Now that I have two jobs, things are beginning to look up for me. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, your loved ones, and the friendo community. Keep up the awesome work and look forward to whatever content you plan to bring in for your channel. Best regards, Jonathan Copen.
Thank you very much.
P.S. I plan to donate to the Going In Raw Patreon in the near future. Hope to be a big part of the friendo community. You know what, man? When you send us cool stuff like this, you are a big part of the friendo community.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. And I always love when I hear that our podcast is bringing a little slice of happy into somebody's life. It's always great. Oh, scary, Benoit. Don't put him on. Oh, no, don't show him, Larson. Don't show Benoit. I'll be demonetized. Some good pinups in those magazines there?
Here.
All right. Demonetized. I love it. Chris Benoit's challenge. Take your shot. No, thank you. I don't think I will, Chris.
This is great. We'll go through these, find some quality. Hey, look, Larson. Oh, you didn't know? Look at this, Edge. He did neat things.
Yeah, he did. All right.
That's thank awesome. You very much.
That's thank you very much. Fantastic.
Answer some questions.
Man. Absolutely.
World Tag League shirt. This makes me very excited.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so real.
It's got all the dates on back, too.
That's great, man.
That's awesome.
Real.
Excellent.
Here we go. First up, Eddie Jose Glorious Menjivar. With Paige out of the picture for the Royal Rumble, what do you guys think WWE will do to fill her spot? An extra NXT superstar or a legend that didn't make the cut?
Dana Brooke, I don't think, has declared.
Yeah, if they need somebody.
Yeah,
I guess it'd be Dana Brooke.
I think that would be great
if it was Dana Brooke because she's doing such great work with Titus Worldwide right now. She's so enthusiastic about her stuff.
Good for her. Alex Foster, if Wyatt looks so uninterested in this feud as heads of creative, what would you promise him to get him to be invested and happy in the company? You need a time machine for that. Go back to WrestleMania 30. Have him beat Cena. You should have beat Cena.
I mean, I would say keep him. Look. All you got to do with the guy is say, Bray, this is what we'd like to do with Matt Hardy. We think it's going to be a pretty big deal. The people are really behind him. What do you think would be good to help your character along to get something out of this as well?
Yeah.
Ask the guy.
I know.
Unless he's one of those guys who's like, hey, look, I'm here to be a wrestler. You tell me what to do. I mean, I imagine there probably are some people out there who are
definitely.
Show me the script. Tell me what to do. And I trust you guys with that. That's not my job. My job's not creative. If that's the case, then I don't know. Give him some wins.
I don't know.
Give him some wins along the way.
Jack Dolan, make a Starfleet bridge crew from members of the Raw and SmackDown rosters. Captain John Cena.
Who's chief of security? That's Braun Strowman. Worf is Braun, right? I feel like we've done this question before.
I'm sure we have.
Who's Data? Oh,
chief science officer.
Jason Jordan can be Lieutenant Barkley.
Okay. Xavier Woods can be chief science officer.
There you go. I like that. Who's Deanna Troi? Who's counselor?
B- Becky Lynch.
Oh, there you go. She's quickly becoming one of my favorites.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Who's Riker? Seth Rollins?
Yeah, I was going to say Seth Rollins. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good bridge crew.
Because I could see Riker doing the, like, having his selfies of his bean exposed. They should have done that storyline in Next Generation.
CM Punk finds insulting with the NFL head coaching searches in full swing. Power rank.
What? Seth picture.
Power rank WWE wrestlers that you would hire as NFL head coaches. Number one, John Cena.
Titus World, give me Titus.
Oh, yeah, Titus. Well, yeah, Titus, yeah, he actually played football. Yeah, correct. Titus, yeah. Number one.
Oh, I like this question from Bronze Grappling Hook. With the current rosters, who would win a shoot Royal Rumble? Who would actually win?
Oh, Braun Strowman.
You think Braun would? I don't really know how.
He's strong.
Yeah.
He's massive.
Yeah.
It would take a lot to get him out, and I imagine he would just be able to throw people out of the ring.
You think so, yeah.
I mean, Brock, he has training. Like MMA training.
Yeah. Because he needs like a guy who's going to take you down. But yeah, like getting somebody out of the ring is a big task.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. This is kind of a bigger question. 30 men, right? Standard, like the format for the Royal Rumble. Everything stays the same.
Yeah, yeah.
How long would it actually take?
For someone to shoot win?
Yeah. Everybody's in there to shoot. Everybody's in there trying to shoot. Everybody's in there to shoot win. Yeah.
It'd probably take twice as long.
At least.
Yeah.
Thinking like 5 hours, yeah, man. It'd take forever. I like this. Charles Sips. Recently, a man walked into my store and it turned out he was friends with Titus Worldwide. I think he means Titus O'Neil. And they met in college. Unsurprisingly, Titus is a really nice guy who loves his family. So my question, which wrestler from any era would you have wanted to be friends with in college? AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Because he was all in on the N64 stuff.
Yeah.
I would have beat everybody, including AJ Styles.
No, you wouldn't beat AJ.
I was the most dominant force.
No, you weren't.
At those games.
No, you weren't.
Absolutely.
Actually, the first one, World Tour, I was the most dominant once I learned of the power of Glacier.
Everything after that, it was me, though. You guys used to double-team me. You know, man, my number one power rank, number one features you on a 2K19, special guest ref.
Mm-hmm.
Play as mm-hmm. ref.
Yeah, that was fun. And,
that was so much fun.
WrestleMania 2000.
Everybody would just screw everybody over.
I know.
It was great.
Dom Hilberg, is the two wins over the bar going to lead to some sort of push for Titus Worldwide, maybe to help keep the numbers in the tag division when Sheamus takes his inevitable hiatus to heal his neck? Or are they just cogs in the storyline between The Bar and Jason Jordan and Rollins? I hope it's a push for Titus Worldwide.
I hope so. I don't know. They seem to be giving him some really, really solid... I think they're giving him a really, really solid lower mid-card push. And like a couple of high-profile wins over T-Bar is really helping that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't think they're going to be getting those tag titles anytime soon. But if they had a mid-card tag title belt, they would be top contenders for that.
Broken Steve, hey, friend, is it just me, or does it seem like, apart from a few B-level stories, that Raw would be completely lost without Braun?
He definitely adds a lot.
He adds a sense of unpredictability and excitement to the show, which would be really lacking if he were not there.
I think it'd still be like... You know, given how lackluster SmackDown's creative, I think it'd be more on par with SmackDown, but yeah. SmackDown's creative has been so crap lately.
Yeah, it's not been good.
Michael Lint. With the knowledge that last year's Royal Rumble match was over an hour long, will we be sitting through 2-hour-ish long Rumble matches?
Yeah.
Will the pace be picked up to fit in both matches, or will one be given a longer amount of time than the other?
Well, I mean, at the minimum, they're each going to be about a half hour long because there's a minute between each competitor.
That's format wise, yeah.
So no, I would expect at the minimum each of them to be 45 minutes.
And here's the thing, Michael Len here says the Rumble match has always been one of my favorites, but I don't think I'm looking forward to 2 1-hour-plus matches. I am.
Oh, I am too.
I can't get enough of eliminations. I love them. I think they're the best thing. Oh my God, he just got eliminated.
Bronze Grappling Hook. Is it weird that Jason Jordan was known as a tag team specialist in American Alpha and now he suddenly doesn't know how to act as a team?
Right. That's actually a really good point. That is a really good point. Oh, man.
Oh, this is interesting. Jason Lovejoy. Was Vince in attendance last night, or is this a sign of things to come? feel like all the rumors of him focusing on Alpha Entertainment may lead to more shows like this. Also, shout out to the Michael Cole spot.
Maybe.
I thought about that too.
Whoa, better shows without Vince around. Sid Swami, turns out going on a full-on rampage saved Braun's job. But what if he didn't get rehired? Power Rank non-wrestling jobs that would be good for Braun. Mover.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the premier moving service.
Mm-hmm.
You can just load up your garage on his back.
Yeah, demolition.
Demolition for sure. Oh, yeah, that's number one right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, demolition.
Sorry. Demolition.
He wouldn't need any of the tools or accoutrements that most demolition experts would need. He'd be able to do it with his bare hands.
How about this? Cake taster.
Yeah, that's
he
good.
He can quality assurance
check, yes.
for a baker.
Yeah, good, good.
Uh-huh. I would think that
Profession utilizing grappling hook.
Grappling hook specialist.
There you go.
I feel like there's a number of variety of jobs, so you just need a specialist with grappling hooks. Daryl Cat Takahashi, how much longer do you think Kurt Angle is going to be GM, empowering the next people who likely will be a GM? I think Paige has to be a GM after you come Daniel Bryan leaving.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. He's either going to start wrestling or he's going to leave. In any event, he's not going to be GM past September.
Yep. God, Jason the Cabbie. While it may seem a foregone conclusion that Asuka is going to win the Women's Rumble, does she really need the victory, or could Nia Jax benefit better from it?
I mean, okay, so her being eliminated does not constitute a loss. So it doesn't. That
I
doesn't,
guess
that,
not.
That does not go on your record.
I guess you have to be pinned. If in like to
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah,
suffer
yeah.
the first loss.
Yeah.
So like in the mixed match challenge, I understand that's not exactly within canon. But if her team loses but she doesn't take the pin, does that count as a loss against her?
No, it does not.
All right.
No. Because okay, so if she's on a if they did like a 6-man tag match with you know on Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
Asuka and
loses,
to,
yeah.
As long as she doesn't take the pin,
yeah.
That's not a loss.
I like Nia Jax, but at this point it does feel inevitable that Asuka's going to win. So if it doesn't happen, it might be a bit of a letdown in one respect.
I mentioned this last week. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
If Asuka wins, it'll feel like we met expectations. If she doesn't win, it's going to feel odd. It's going to be like, wait, really? Asuka didn't win?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the problem with the Women's Rumble right at this point, you know?
Matthew, I'm sorry.
It's kind of. I mean, I'm not gonna say it's the. Unless it, also the finish has a lot to do with it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
If Becky Lynch like eliminates Asuka right before, you know, like just to win, they'll go crazy for that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matthew Williams Esquire, King Ricochet has arrived at the Performance Center as his
Trevor Mann.
Exciting.
Trevor Mann.
Do you send him to NXT or do you hotshot him to Raw 25/ the Rumble? He was announced by NXT as signing and he's reporting to the Performance Center, so he's going to NXT.
Yep.
I just hope they let him keep the Ricochet name. I'm worried they're going to change his name based on how many times they referred to him as Trevor Mann
what did he
in
call,
that press release.
What did he call himself in
Lucha Underground?
Yeah, Prince Puma. See, I dig that name.
But that's owned by Lucha Underground, man.
No, I'm not saying that. I get what you're saying. I'm saying that any cool name can be applicable to him.
But Ricochet is such a great
name. I hated the name Aleister Black.
But, I know.
I mean, yeah, because Tommy End is just a way cooler name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally fine with Aleister Black now.
You're used to it.
Eva! And you'll get used to whatever they call Trevor Mann. Richard Nason, he says, serious question here.
Okay.
Put on your serious hat, Larson. He says, okay, it was made public and in the media that Paige has to retire. They did not mention on Raw. All that was said was she is, quote, unable to participate in the Women's Rumble due to neck injury. Now, do you think they said it this way as it's not as bad as they originally thought? Or is this a way to keep Absolution looking strong till the Royal Rumble? I think they did it to emotionally protect Paige.
Maybe especially after they saw the breakdown that Daniel Bryan had after he was told
you can't
have to
just
retire.
Tell people to go out there and retire.
Nope.
You can't do that.
Nope.
So I honestly think... Because, there is a part of me that kind of felt the same way. I was like, wait, maybe they're getting this wrong. Maybe they're not. But then I read that she's having problems with it. Who knows if that's true or not?
Yeah, who knows?
But if it is true, then this is a darn good way and a very compassionate way to bring somebody along to the emotional point where they don't do something, especially her who has a history of some instability.
Yeah.
You know, just, hey, bring it. There's no need to say anything now. Just, all right, Paige, come to this conclusion on your own time. Mm-hmm. There's no rush.
Yes. Tommy T, hey, friend, knows my question is, what are some weird facts about wrestling you know? One that Tommy T knows is that Randy Orton was more of a draw as champ at his peak than Sting was at his peak.
That's the weirdest comparison right there.
I know.
Do you think that's true?
I don't know.
That's probably true. I mean, Randy Orton also had a bigger infrastructure behind him.
Yes.
So, oh, man, what's a weird wrestling fact? Well, the weirdest one for me right now is knowing that when Ric Flair would expose himself to his fellow wrestlers, he was erect. That's weird.
That is weird.
That's odd. Something I wish I didn't know, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Shane Douglas worked both at Target and as a teacher.
Yeah.
Weird wrestling fact. Your turn.
I'm thinking.
Come on, give me one. Give me a juicy one.
I don't know if I can think of a juicy one right now.
Yeah. Is there a weird Jake the Snake Roberts evidently was terrified of snakes?
That's not true.
Who said that? I read that somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That would be weird. He was around snakes his entire career.
Super weird. That's why I'd be like me having the snake gimmick.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Give me a break,
man. Yeah.
Let's see here. You keep thinking.
I'll think.
You keep thinking. You're on hiatus right now until you give me a weird wrestling fact.
All
right. That you know. Oh, Trapezoid Jr., which is one of my favorite names now on Patreon. Just watched your Steven Larson Books Raw where Cassius Ohno joined the Shield, and it had me wondering, if Ohno was indeed originally planned to be original member of Shield, this is what CM Punk said.
Yeah, okay? According to CM Punk.
Yeah. He says, how do you think they would have gone over, and what do you think they would have done with Roman Reigns? I don't know if they would have been. Do you think they would have been as over as they were?
I don't think so.
Without Roman?
No, I don't think so.
With Chris Hero in that spot?
Because I think, you know, with the way the Shield was constructed.
It was the perfect
They had
mix.
Reigns, the muscle. Seth, the brains, mm-hmm. and then he had Dean, the wild card.
Yeah.
They had the perfect match of everything.
Yeah.
Ohno is tall, mm-hmm. but in 2013 he wasn't ripped. He's a great wrestler, but he wasn't known as you know, like a strong man.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what they needed. They needed some muscle.
Yeah.
Maybe with his striking prowess that could have compensated for that, you know?
Yeah.
The dynamic would have been completely different, but he's so good on the mic, too, that I imagine him doing most of the talking. Not that, you know, Dean's good,
mm-hmm.
but Ohno was fantastic.
Yeah, no, he's great. I don't know, man.
It'd have been so different. Imagine him coming out in the SWAT gear and all that.
I know, it would have been really different. Maybe they would have been over. Maybe they would have been over. Yeah. Reigns just came off as like a box office guy. You know,
yeah.
He just came off like a really, really box office guy. Big money guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Cassius Ohno.
Oh, he's great.
He's great. I'm glad that we booked him back into the Shield.
Oh, I know.
Because we're great.
You want to do a play-per-view?
It's time for play-per-view. Do you have any ideas?
I have a Royal Rumble pulled up.
Oh, what a great idea.
95.
You have 95?
There's only...
Not going to be a lot of matches.
No, there's 6, including dark match, 5 without. This is 95.
You said what now?
5 matches.
Okay. I've got 6, including dark match as well.
All right. What year is that?
92.
All right. Oh, you don't want to do 92. I know that one really well.
Okay. What do you have, 96?
95.
You have 95. How well do you know 94?
Not as well as I know 92.
Okay. I like that you know 92 really well.
That's the one that Flair won the title at. Watch that show.
Good point. Fine, we're going 94
versus 95. I will go first. Do you have 6?
Get out! Stop looking at everything.
Well, it's just the order people eliminated from the Rumble. Probably.
Yeah, it's got.
But do you have 6 matches? Yes,
it's got 6. Yes.
All right, we'll start with the dark match then.
Very well. Give me 1 second here. I'll put up on my phone. Can you describe what are we even doing right now?
This is a pay-per-view.
What is pay-per-view?
We challenge, we quiz each other on the results.
It's the greatest wrestling trivia challenge ever.
It's the replacement for Kayfabe Corner, which we never really gave the send-off it really deserved. This is, we just go back to old pay-per-views, quiz each other on the results of those shows.
Wrestling, you know, you don't always get a great send-off in wrestling, man.
I know, but Kayfabe Corner was such a important part of what we did for so long.
Hold on a second. Three, what did I say? Four.
It's a 94.
Well, hold on. I might want to do... Oh, wow. You knew 93 was in Sacramento?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. We're going to go 93.
Okay. Six matches?
Yes, okay. Including dark matches.
Okay, good. Okay. First match, the Brooklyn Brawler versus Buck Quartermain.
Buck Quartermain.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, Doink the Clown versus Jim Powers.
Doink.
Very good.
Razor Ramon, the Intercontinental Champion, versus Jeff Jarrett.
Was it 95?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Razor Ramon.
No.
Ah! Let's see here. In a tag team match, the Beverly Brothers, Bo Beverly and Blake Beverly, took on the Steiner Brothers, the team of Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner.
To go with the Steiners.
Yeah, that's a good idea. They won.
Next, Irwin R. Scheister versus The Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Okay. A singles match for the Intercontinental Championship.
All right.
Marty Jannetty, the challenger, versus the champion, Shawn Michaels.
HBK.
Yeah. Marty Jannetty was never an Intercontinental Champion.
Well, that's not true. He was.
Was he really?
Yeah, he beat HBK for it at episode of Raw.
Oh, my gosh.
Next, Bret Hart versus WWF World Heavyweight Champion, Diesel.
This was 1995?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Diesel held on to it.
He did, but it was a draw. They fought to a draw. But he retained the title because it was a draw.
Well, I said he's going to hold on to
it. He held on to it. You can say he won. So that counts.
Okay. Nice. That shouldn't count, but it does. Big Boss Man versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, man. They give Boss Man a lot of wins. I'll go Bam Bam.
Very good. Bam Bam won.
A tag team match for the vacant WWF Tag Team Championships. We had Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka versus the 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly.
I'll say the big men won it.
No.
No? 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly had the tag championships?
Yeah, man.
Oh, crap. A singles match for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship. The challenger, Razor Ramon. Versus Bret Hart.
Bret Hart.
Very good.
Finally, the main event, Royal Rumble match. Who won it?
In 95?
Yeah.
Wasn't it, wasn't that when Bret and Shawn Michaels tied? They like both fell out at the same time? No? Was it,
You get one answer.
Was it, Diesel? No, it wasn't Diesel. He was in the match earlier.
He was champion.
Hold on a second. You get one guess. 95?
Yes.
Was it Shawn Michaels?
Yes, your third try, you got it right, but it doesn't count because you tried three times.
That was my first guess, Shawn Michaels.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I said Shawn Michaels and Bret. Wasn't there one where they both fell out at the same time?
It was Stone Cold and Bret, I think. It wasn't Shawn Michaels.
Was it Shawn Michaels? Well, it was Bret and Luger at the same time.
Oh, that's Bret and Luger. That's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, man, that was him and HBK.
No.
What a bummer. I only got three. All right, well, tell me who won in 93. What year is this? 93. Who won it in 93?
It was 94, must have been when Bret and Luger fell at the same time. All right, what was the main event at WrestleMania 93? I'll say Yokozuna.
Very good.
Perfect. Oh, six for God. Six.
Get
I'm
out of here.
The man.
Get out of here. Whoa, wait a second. What?
What?
Jason Acabi says Bob Holly is almost as old as Steve. Oh, was that a joke?
Must be. Bob Holly is quite a bit older than Steve.
I think they were making a joke because I said I've lived in a bunch
of
places. Yeah,
I think so. Jason McCabe said you must be 123 years old.
Oh, yeah. Bob Holly's almost that age. Right on. Anyways, Hilton, can we get some out music? Thank you. Anyways, that's it for now. Thanks for watching, everybody. We really appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.